هو الذي يربي الناس على صغار العلم قبل كباره، بمعنى يبدأ مع الأمة شيئا فشيئا حتى يتنمو حتى تنضج، لا يطلب منها ما لا تطيق ولا يتساهل ويتميع معها فتضيع كل شيء، كما جاء في البخاري الرباني هو الذي يعلم الناس صغار العلم قبل كباره، وهذه نظرية تربوية يكاد يطبق عليها المربون المحدثون. أنت عندما تذهب بالطفل إلى المدرسة كيف تعلمه؟ تبدأ معه من السهل إلى الصعب، من الواضح إلى المبهم، من الموجود إلى المجرد. لماذا؟ لأن هذا الطفل تريد أن تعلمه فلا بد أن تعطيه أشياء يطيق، أشياء يشعر بها، أشياء يستوعبها. فلذلك إذا نظرنا إلى الأمة نجدها أبجديات الدين، يعني قواعد الدين المهمة لا تكاد تقوم بها، فنأتي نقول للأمة نريد أن نفعل ما فوق السحاب، هذا تكليف ما لا يطاق الآن، فلا بد أن نبدأ بالأمة كما بدأ الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. أعطيكم مثال واحد، كثير يأتيني من الأخوة يقول نريد أن نذهب ونقاتل المستضعفون من الرجال والولدان والنساء يذبحون في البوسنة في كشمير في. أقول لهم صبرا، لا بد من التربية أولا، لا بد من أن يصل بنا الأمر إلى اليقين. كان الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يمر في مكة على آل ياسر وصياط قريش تنزل على أجسادهم، ماذا كان يقول لهم؟ كان يقول لهم صبرا آل ياسر، صبرا آل ياسر فإن موعدكم الجنة. كان يمر على بلاد وهو تحت صياط أمية بن خلف، ماذا كان يقول؟ جاءه خباب يوم، خباب بن الأرك رضي الله عنه، ماذا قال للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ ألا تدعو لنا؟ ألا تستنصر لنا؟ خباب بن الأرك رضي الله عنه كان حدادا لامرأة من قريش تسمى أم أنمار، فكان لما أسلم تأتي توقد الجمر النار، توقد الجمر حتى يصبح نار، ثم تأتي بخباب تضعه على الجمر، ظهره على الجمر، الله، فلا يطفئ الجمر إلا من ودك ظهره، أي من إيش؟ من الشحم، يحترق ويسيل على النار ويطفئ. جاءه وهو على هذه الحال يا أخواني، قال يا رسول الله ألا تدعو لنا؟ ألا تستنصر لنا؟ ماذا يريد من الرسول؟ الدعاء فقط. فقال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم كان الرجل من قبلكم يؤخذ فيحفر له في الأرض ويؤتى بالمنشار فيجعل نصفين ثم يمشط بأمشاط الحديد ما دون لحمه وعظمه، لكن هذا إذا أصبر يشعل يأس. هذا في الرسول تربيته كالآتي، لما يأمر بالثبات يشيع الأمل أن المستقبل لهذا الدين، اصبروا فإن المستقبل لهذا الدين، يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم معنى كلامه. ثم قال بعدما أمره بالثبات قال له والله ليتمن هذا الأمر حتى يسير الراكب من صنعاء إلى حضرموت لا يخاف إلا الله أو الذئب على غنمه. الله أكبر، يعني نتيجة صبرك يا خباب أنت وأمن معك في مكة هي أن يبلغ هذا الدين مبلغ الليل والنهار حتى يسير الراكب من صنعاء إلى حضرموت لا يخشى إلا الله، أمن وأمان وسكينة وأطمئنان أو الذئب على غنمه. ثم قال له في الآخر جملة، والله لو استوعبناها يا إخواني لعرفنا منهج النبي في التربية، ولكنكم تستعجلون. ولماذا يقول الرسول لا تستعجل يا خباب أنت ومعك؟ لأن القاعدة معروفة، قاعدة شرعية من استعجل شيئا قبل أوانه عوقب بحرمانه. من استعجل شيئا قبل أوانه عوقب بحرمانه. مثال: أحدنا عنده حديقة جميلة فيها الأشجار المثمرة والأزهار اليانعة والمياه العذبة، سار يوما في حديقته فرأى بعض الثمار عجبته، شكلها جميل، فاستعجل إلى قطفها في غير أوانه. شكلها من الخارج جميل حبيب إلى النفس العين، فلما أخذها وذاقها فإذا هي مرة، فماذا فعل بها؟ رماها. رماها. هذا عوقب بحرمانها لأنه استعجل قطف الثمرة قبل أوانها. إذا الذين يطمون بالتربية على منهج الأنبياء هم العلماء الربانيين. أما ماذا يجب علينا في هذه الديار؟ سأقول ما يلي: أول شيء كثرة استقدام العلماء لهذه الديار، وكثرة بناء المراكز الإسلامية ذات المنهج الواحد، ذات منهج السلف الصالح رضوان الله عليه. أن نرى أن أهل البدع والضلالات لهم مراكز عجيبة، لأن هناك من يغذيه، لكن نحن لا بواقي لنا كما قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولكن حمزة لا بواقي له، وهذا المنهج وهذه الدعوة لا بواقي لها إلا أن نعتمد على الله أولا، ثم على صبرنا واحتسابنا وتقديمنا ما في جوبنا لله سبحانه وتعالى. الأمر الثالث: أن يتجمع المسلمون في تجمعات سكنية قرب بعضهم البعض، حتى يكاد يشعر المسلم أنه في حي مسلم. الأمر الرابع: ألا يختلفوا وألا يتنازعوا، فإن النزاع والخلاف فشل وذهاب بالريح. وأن يكثروا من مدارس تعليم اللغة القرآن، لغة العرب. هذه بعض الأمور التي أنصح إخواني بها، أنصح إخواني الذي أرجاتهم الضرورة إلى هذه الديار، ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعل لنا ولهم من أمرنا يسرا. تفضل يا شيخ.
First of all, the Sheikh replied by saying this is a very good question. He'd like to expand as much as he can on this subject, but you know, he's tried to be brief as possible because it's a longer subject, even longer than what he mentioned. So we're told that we have to be the people we take this methodology from. How do we learn to be on the right path and get the proper training? This is the role of the ulama al-rabbaniyun, ulama al-rabbaniyin, scholars who have the ability to give the tarbiyah and education, and they have themselves preach the practice to the other people. Like Allah has mentioned in the Quran, an ayah which means, but be rabbaniyin, be people who yourselves correct yourselves and train yourselves and others because of what you stood, because by teaching the book and by learning it. And we are told by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith which means the best of you are those who learn the Quran and teach it. But this Rabbani, this alim Rabbani or teacher, he should try to start on the simple things, the things which people can cope with before what is difficult and has some sort of difficulty on the soul. The Rabbani, Alim Rabbani, is the one who starts on small knowledge before he starts on big things. So it's like a boy in a school. you take him to school, you start with the easy and simple things first, and you don't start with the things which are difficult. You start with that which is clear, before the unclear things. So you give him things which he can cope with, before the things which he can't cope with. So this is what we have to do to the Ummah. And our relationship with the Ummah is to do this, to start them on the things they can cope with and teach them like this. So we start as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started, in the simple ways, and he will explain that. So many ask the Shaykh about fighting here and there to save, you know, in the problems which are happening here and there. But he advises also to be patient and not to forget certainty in Allah. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by Ammar ibn Yasir, when he's being tortured in Mecca, what did he say to him? He said to him, "Be patient, O family of Yasir, because verily your appointed place is paradise." When another companion, Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had been tortured so badly, what happened that they used to take a rock and heat it up on fire, and they used to place his back on that rock. So the only way that rock would lose its coolness was by burning the fat from the body of Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That by burning it off, then the heat would reduce. So one can imagine what happened to him radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Oh Rasulullah, won't you make dua for us? Won't you ask Allah to save us?" He told them that verily there were people before you who were cut into pieces, cut in half from the top to the where the legs join, and then they were used, steel or metal combs were used to dig into their body, and then they would still stay on the belief of Allah. Verily Allah would fulfill this matter, meaning fulfill this deen, the deen would spread, meaning as a result of your patience, O people, meaning as a result of your hard work, there is fruit, which is that Allah will fulfill this matter, this deen, until a rider can ride from Sana'a to Hadramaut, and fear no one except for Allah, and not the wolf, not even the wolf can harm him. So look at the result of patience. The result of that patience is that the deen is spread out throughout the world and Ummah. And he replies, and he said, "But you are in a hurry." He says to Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "But you are in a hurry." And from that is extracted the important Sharia principle that whoever rushes a thing, tries to rush to bring about a thing before it is ready, he is punished by that thing being forbidden. But you are in a hurry. Example is like the example of a garden full of fruits and trees, and a person goes towards a tree, and in it is there are beautiful fruits, but they're not quite ripe. They haven't reached the level or stage of ripeness, where the person takes the fruit and he eats the fruit, and because of its bitterness he throws it away. So see, as he rushed to bring about that goodness before it was ripe, before it was ready, then he lost the goodness and he's forbidden from that goodness and punished. So the principle says, whoever rushes a thing before it is ready, he's punished by the thing being forbidden to him. So what are our obligations in this country? First of all, that we should use the ulama in the world as much as we can. Whenever we have problems or so, we want to use them, as mentioned in our previous lessons about with phone and fax, etc. Use them as much as possible. And secondly, to build centers which follow a methodology, one methodology, the way of the early predecessors who were given the certificate of goodness and correctness by Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Other people have centers. People who are not on the way of the Ahl Sunnah, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companions, have many, many centers because they have many causes, ways they can get these. But we haven't still got them. And that we should try to, thirdly, gather around in certain areas, make a community in complexes or certain areas, so we are close to each other and we will feel that we're living in a Muslim community, and so there's no problems and differences. And being far away can lead to the words of the Muslims, the unity of the Muslims being precipitated. And that we should try forcefully to build schools for our Muslim children and to teach the children Arabic, the language of the Quran, and teach them the Quran as well. And the Sheikh, as we said before, it's a lot more to it. And it's inshallah some things we can go by. When is it allowed for this country to split our relationship of the people who haven't followed the way of the methodology of Rasulullah and the companions and the Tabi'in and so on? For example, the Shia, the people who don't follow the way like the Shia and the Libyan Sufis.
وهي منتشرة في هذه الديار، مثال الشيعة الرافض، مثال البريلوية غيرهم من فرق الضلالة، هذا لا ينبغي أن تقيم معهم علاقة أصلا إلا علاقة الدعوة إلى الله، علاقة الدعوة تدعوهم إلى الله. أما الذي ينبغي أن تقيم علاقة معهم على ما قدمنا هم أخوان الذين على منهج السنة والجماعة، على منهج السنة والجماعة ومنهج السلف الصالح رضي الله عليه، لأن صحبة هذه الفرق الضالة أول شيء تضعف الإيمان، تميت القلب، وقد يرتد الإنسان عن دينه لأنهم أصحاب شبهات. والشبهات خطرة يا أخواني. قال الإمام الذهبي رحمه الله معلقا على كلمة سفيان الثوري رحمه الله: البدعة أحب إلى الشيطان من المعصية، لأن البدعة لا يتاب منها بينما المعصية يتاب منها. فقال: نعم، الشبه خطافة والقلوب ضعيفة، يلقي إليك شبهة يجعلك ترتد عن منهجه. لماذا؟ لأن العلم هنا لم ينضج بعد، ما هناك علماء فحول يتصدون لهذه الشبهات، يردونها على أدبارها. لذلك فصحبة هؤلاء تزيغ القلب، أنهم يتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله. لذلك قالت عائشة رضي الله عنها: إذا رأيتم هؤلاء الذين يتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء تأويله فاحذروهم، ابتعدوا عنهم. تفضل يا شيخ.
First of all, being friends with these sorts of people who have turned away from the way of Allah, they are perhaps people who are partially or totally turned away from the methodology of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and therefore are stray groups, like for example the Shia, the Alawi people, the Baha'i, along with the Qadiani people who don't believe in the seal of the Prophethood, and so on. These people who are full of these doubtful, ambiguous arguments, and these people, the person in the original situation, shouldn't be friends with them, shouldn't have relationships with them, shouldn't have relationship with them, because it will lead him into doubt. And if you put yourself in doubt in a country where there aren't too many scholars and ulama around, then it could lead to the death of the heart. It could lead to the person even renegating from his deen and becoming apostate. So we should be careful and stay away. But as for the other Muslims, of course, the unity and the gathering and the connection and the brotherhood should be with the brothers who are on the Ahl Sunnah, the way of methodology of Rasulullah and his companions and the first generation. Imam al-Zahabi made a comment on what Sufyan al-Thawri said, that innovation, bid'ah, innovation is more beloved to shaitan than fornication is, or adultery. Because the person, when he does fornication, adultery, repents, but the person who does the innovation doesn't repent. So in discussion about this, that the doubtful things have a huge strength over such of the weak hearts. The doubtful things have a huge strength over the weak hearts, and such is our situation here. When things are doubtful and our hearts are weak and there's no ulama, and there's a strength of these arguments against us. So these people who have deviations in belief and so on should be stayed away from, and they're the people who their hearts have been deviated, and the people who follow the ambiguous seeking disease in the end. Well, another point was that the relationship which we don't have with, we shouldn't have with them, except in calling them to the path of Allah. Except in calling them to the path of Allah. The book was about brotherhood and love in Islam. Is it also of importance for sisters to visit each other and form bonds of love and encouragement between each other? Some people are of the opinion that it is not a necessity for sisters but only for brothers.
بالنسبة للأخوات كيف يعني عملنا في هذا الأمر؟ نقول هذا للرجال، أما الأخوات فيعني الأمر ضيق بالنسبة لهن، لأن أفضل مكان للمرأة هو بيته، ولكن لا مانع من أن تزور الأخت أختها دون أن تختلي طبعا، دون أن يكون هناك رجال، وألا تكون بإذن زوجها، وأن تهدي لها شيئا تحبب أختها، وأن تخبرها بأنها تحب في الله وما إلى غير ذلك، وأن تفشي إذا وجدتها تلقي السلام عليها، لكن هذا يكون في يعني أقل دائرته من دائرة الرجل، لأن المرأة في بيتها لا يجوز لها أن تتحرك تخرج من بيتها إلا لحاجتها. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى نساء النبي وهن أشرف نساء هذه الأمة وقرن في بيوتكن ولا تبرجن تبرج الجاهلية، وخير مكان للمرأة هو بيتها خير مكان لها، حتى خير لها من المسجد، كان يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تمنع إماء الله بيوت الله وبيوتهن خير لهن، فما ذكرنا يؤدى بقدر استطاعة المرأة بحيث لا تفسد علاقتها مع زوجها أو تهدم أسرتها أو تجلب المشاكل على بيتها، فهذا ضروري التنبه إليه بالنسبة لأخواتنا. بارك الله فيهن، جعلهن زوجات صالحات أخوان طيبين إن شاء الله.
That is just what the question given. Is it restricted to the brothers or is it sisters as well? So in general, a lot of these things are for the brothers. In general, many of these things are for the men. Because the woman is more restricted in her scope in what she can do. Because also the best place for the woman is her home. But in the same way, there's no harm that a Shia sister should visit her Muslim sister with the permission of her husband, give presents to each other, to say that you love them for the sake of Allah, spread love. Give salam to each other and so on. But the scope of this, as was mentioned, is more limited than the scope of the man, because the woman stays in the home, at the home, except when she needs to go, when she has need to go out. As Allah orders the women, wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most noble of women, and stay in your homes, and do not make a display in the way people of the early Jahiliyyah made a display, tabarruj. Even the homes for the women are better than the mosques, as Rasulullah mentioned that hadith, which means do not stop the slave girls of Allah from attending the house of Allah, even though their own homes are better for them. So he's saying that Shaykh makes dua that Allah blesses them and makes them for righteous wives and for righteous husbands. Question on this paper, I'm not going to mention it because it looks like it's a personal question. So if someone would, the person would try to pass it to Brother Hussein, the answer, pass it back somehow to the existing question, because it's not good, some personal questions to read out, the person's secret should be kept. He says that, verily those who say that our Lord is Allah and then they are upright on that, the angels descend upon them. So of course, be upright on the belief in Allah, establish the belief in Allah, is in the world. The question is the descending of the angels, descending on the angels in the world or not, imply that is that the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the explanation of this, saying that the explanation, which means that the actual descending of the angels is in the grave, that Allah makes firm those firm are in the grave, those who so Allah makes firm those who say the true words in the world and in hereafter are in the grave. So the angels come down there and they make them firm, are in the firm in the grave. Well, it can be also at the coming of the angel of death.